this before. I'm quite nervous. So if I do stumble, have a lot of grace for me. Right, so Psalm 147. Now, could you read this with me, please? So from the top. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts down the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the skies with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Powerful stuff. So, when I was praying about this, I felt, given the time limit I had, and I didn't want to overrun, but I felt God highlight two particular parts, so I was going to talk about them today. So firstly, he determines the number of stars in the sky and calls them each by name. Now the funny thing is, we do have a few names for the stars, but most of them have a number because there are just so many. In fact, there are a lot, and I'm going to quiz you on this in a second. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. So here's a little game for us. How many stars are in the sky? Do you think it's A, 500 million billion, B, 100 billion billion, C, 200 billion trillion, or D, 500 trillion trillion? So, if you think it's A, raise your hand. If you think it's B, raise your hand. Okay. If you think it's C, raise your hand. Interesting. And if you think it's D, raise your hand. Okay. Well, the answer is C. 200 billion trillion. Which is 200 sextillion or this number? That is a lot of stars. And consider that God knows every single one of them by name, even the ones we couldn't be bothered to name. He knows what their names are. He gave them. In fact, this is just a little picture of the observable universe. We can't actually see it because we're in it. And it's as far out as we can possibly see. And that does expand from time to time when we get new equipment like the James Webb telescope, where we can see a little bit further and find, oh, there are more stars. So in fact, there are more than 200 billion trillion, was it? I forget the name. And God still knows all of them by name, so very much so. His understanding is great. So why would God make it so big? I've often heard atheists say, well, of course there've got to be aliens out there because it's so big. Space is so huge. You'd think that, you know, if a God created it, then he'd put life in other parts of the universe. So why did he do it? Can any of you tell me? Why did God make the heavens? Why did he make them so big? The heavens declare the glories of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hand. When you look up at the enormity of the expanse of the heavens, you get a slight idea of just how big God is, just how mighty he is, just how clever he is. When you look at that up in the sky, you get the slightest inkling of his greatness, which is why the psalmist says, "Great is our Lord, and mighty in power he would have to be to make all of this." His understanding has no limit. So I encourage you, every time you look up at the night sky, just remember, God is bigger than that. He fully understands every single part of it. Every single one of those stars, even the ones without names that we've given them, has a name, and God knows it. And he can even see the stars beyond that we can't see. And the second point I wanted to bring up was this. He covers the skies with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes the grass grow on the hills. Now, what's interesting is that these things, the sky, the clouds, the earth, the rain, and the green grass, actually shows how much God loves us. I want to show you how. So, the sky. Interesting thing about the sky. It's made up of vaguely 20% oxygen and 80% nitrogen. If we had a richer amount of oxygen in the atmosphere, say 50-50 or even 40-60, the trouble is, if you started a fire, it wouldn't go out. Every time you blew it out, it would reignite, and you'd get runaway fires, which would kill everybody. So, good thing that the atmosphere has 80% nitrogen, which acts as a fire retardant, keeping us alive. Two, obviously, the oxygen that lets us breathe is very handy. And the nitrogen is the food for plants, which then we eat. So if that atmosphere didn't have that amount of nitrogen in it, life on Earth would not be possible. Another one being, the oxygen that manages to get to the top, what we call the ozone layer, is very good at blocking UV light, which if we didn't have, we'd be like Mars, where if you went outside, you'd get a wicked sunburn within minutes, and you wouldn't survive. So again, the sky is very important. It keeps in the heat. If we didn't have it, we'd be freezing cold. So every time you look up at the sky, remember, God put it there to keep you alive because he loves you. And not only that, it's not only for survival, it's also for our thriving. Because if the chemical composition of the atmosphere was different in any way, it would be opaque. So we couldn't see out into the sky, we couldn't see those stars, we couldn't make any discoveries about the enormity of the universe, we couldn't navigate, we wouldn't be able to see the North Star for a start. All these things are really important. And God put it there for a purpose, for us. The clouds. Now, the obvious one, they provide rain. Rain is good. Rain makes crops come up so we can eat. But they have another purpose as well. You might be able to see from the sheen of the top of the clouds, they're very reflective. In fact, anything from clouds, ice, snow, and even the oceans of the Earth help to reflect excess heat back into space. Otherwise, we'd boil and all die. So every time you look at a cloud, remember, if it wasn't there, you wouldn't be either. God put it there for a purpose, because he loves you. Similarly, the Earth that you stand on is very important. Not only is the soil rich in nutrients, which means you can grow things. Trying doing it on Mars or Venus, good luck. It won't work. It's full of the right stuff. It's got lots of cycles, from the weather to the tectonic plates that allow nutrients to come back in, so you have good soil for growing things. The ground you stand on is the crust, obviously, and you can find metals near the surface. And if you have to dig a little bit deeper, you can get them pretty easily still. And with those metals, you can make the tools that can discover how our world works. Now, on other planets, that's not possible, because if you try looking beneath the surface, the metal's not there. It's so deep in, it's impossible to get out. God put it there near the surface so we could make tools to discover more about him by discovering more about his creation. Another one. The mantle underneath and the core we have is made of iron, and it's liquid and swirls around. It's got just the right amount of radioactive isotopes in it to keep it moving, to keep it boiling and bubbling. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a magnetic field. And if we didn't have a magnetic field, the sun and all its power would strip off our atmosphere and we'd not only suffocate, but we'd freeze to death. So again, the Earth you stand on is important. It's exactly the right size to keep in our atmosphere, and it's exactly the right composition to keep you alive. So every time you can see the ground in front of you, remember, it's there for a reason. God put it there because he loves you. The sun connected to it, I know it's not quite in the verse, is the right kind of sun, very stable, and it's the right distance away. So we're not frozen, we're not melted. And an interesting thing is that the moon that goes along with it also keeps us alive. It is the right size and the right distance away that if it were closer in, we would be tidally locked, meaning that our planet would be facing the sun continually on one side and out into space on the other. So one side would burn and die, and the other side would freeze and die. So life wouldn't be possible. If the moon were further out, then we would have a wobble because it keeps us stable with its gravity. And the wobble would be like Mars's wobble, which happens now and then, which is so bad that the polar ice caps melt and the equator freezes. If that happened on this planet, game over. So again, every time you see the moon, every time you see the sun, remember, they're keeping you alive. God put them there because he loves you. An interesting one as well. The moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, and it's also 400 times closer to us than the sun is. So it's the only place in the universe where you can have a perfect solar eclipse, which you can discover. If you were Einstein, for instance, you couldn't discover that general relativity was true without this and without the sun. So God put it there for our discovery, for our thriving as well as our surviving. Now, rain's an interesting one. Obviously, it brings life. As we said, clouds are able to reflect excess light out. Water is frankly amazing. It's a miraculous material because it freezes in an interesting way where the ice is less dense than the water. If it were the other way around, then the bottom of lakes and oceans would freeze and then all life would end because your oxygen-creating plankton at the bottom would die off and then it would freeze up entirely and then not unfreeze, so it's game over. So if water didn't have those particular properties, we'd be gone. You sweat. I know it's not always a pleasant thing, but it's actually a brilliant thing. That's how your fridge works as well. It's called evaporative cooling. Basically, water needs to steal energy in order to be evaporated, and that keeps you cool. Again, if it was the wrong type of substance, like an alcohol, it wouldn't work. It would evaporate too quickly, and we would die. It's exactly the right density for our blood to allow the passage of nutrients from one part to another, to allow the molecular machinery to operate within our cells. And God made it because he loves you. And lastly, grass. Here's an interesting one I found out more recently. Whenever you see grass, whenever you see trees, whenever you see bushes, anything that's green, it's keeping you alive and it's finely tuned. Because as it turns out, the colour of grass and trees and bushes actually corresponds to the power or the light coming from the sun. Because if it were, say, red and absorbing all the red light coming from the sun, it would frequently be out of energy and die off. And then we'd die off. If it were blue and blue light came from the sun... Oh, sorry, I've mixed them around. If it were blue and there wasn't enough blue light, we'd have a power outage and basically would starve to death and die, and then we'd die. If it were red, it would have a power surge and essentially short circuit and we'd all die. But because it's green, right in the middle of the band, it is perfectly finely tuned to make sure that it can cope with fluctuations in power, fluctuations in light, which we get a lot of on Earth. So again, every time you see something green, remember, it's keeping you alive. And God put it there deliberately because he loves you. He covers the skies with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. He provides more for them, not just for them, but for you also, as you've just heard. Why does he do it? Because he loves you. For God so loved the world. Thank you very much.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the astonishing creation that you have made. We thank you for your unending, unfathomable wisdom and might and power. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you did that out of love and you made us. And even when we turned against you, you still loved us and you sent your Son because you loved us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that day by day you love us and you will do forever, and we will be with you forever. And we long, Heavenly Father, for that day when the new heavens and the new earth are recreated and perfect, and when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, and we too will be perfect. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for each one of us. In Christ's name, Amen.